This is The Truth Unfiltered with Dr. Ken Harris.
I heard a guy on a podcast say, if you're playing in a professional game that has been set up, if you go to a casino, the odds are markedly and wickedly against you winning. The house is set to win roughly 98% of the time.
Live at The Avenue, here's Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 7 minutes after the hour. Denise Thomas is celebrating Mother's Day, so I got kicked to the curb, and here I am, and I'm here with you tonight. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms. I guess I don't have to include grandmothers and aunts and uncles. Anybody with kids that's female, happy Mother's Day. How's that? I guess that's as basic as you can make it. So I want to talk about mothers. I've talked a lot here, but I've never really talked about my mother. My mother was born in 1936 in October and moved here from Hertzboro, Alabama, where my family moved, and actually where my father's family moved too, from Hertzboro, Alabama. They grew up next door to each other in Chicago. And, you know, little hoochie-coochie dating thing, and then next thing you know, boop, married, and here I am. There are five of us. Three are surviving. I had a brother, Robert, who passed away maybe 2 days after birth, and then another sister who died at childbirth. And then I've got two older sisters. I'm the baby. I was the last one. I was the last baby boomer baby. I'm a BBB. Is that Better Business Bureau? Okay. So, born and grew up in Chicago. My earliest memory of my mother is when I was 3 years old. She was talking to the insurance man. And the insurance man asked me how old I was, and I held up three fingers. I was three. I don't remember anything between that. And I remember going to what they called Head Start. Y'all call it like 4K, pre-K, all that stuff. Operation Head Start, when the federal government gave cities money for public schools to start, for kids to start school early. And I remember her putting me in, and I cried all day the first day because I was away from my mother. I was used to watching she watched all the soap operas on CBS. So when As the World Turns came on, the first commercial break at the bottom of the hour, that was time to walk back to school. I remember that because, you know, you could tell. That was a time when TV drove your life, not the internet. And I remember her always being sick, but I didn't know she was sick, right? So at 19... somewhere between 19 and 23, she developed breast cancer. And I don't know if you know about people back then, but they smoked like chimneys. I mean, unfiltered, inhale, exhale, Pall Mall cigarettes, all that stuff. Cool, menthol, which was highly addictive. And then later she got colon cancer and had all sorts of complications and all that. And I just found it interesting that I never knew that. I didn't find that out till she was an adult and I was an adult. And we talked about it, you know, and I found out most people don't talk to their parents. They don't ask their parents, hey, like, why did I, like, I was a weirdo growing up because I read everything, right? When I was in third grade, I was reading at a sixth grade level. Sixth grade. When I was in sixth grade, I was reading at a college level. I just love to read. I read, I write, I just loved it. And that was because my mother always left books around. I read anything I got my hand. Well, I read a few things I wasn't supposed to get my hands on. My mother had to, you know, what are you reading that for? Get rid of that. But for the most part, she was always there. She We were on welfare in Chicago because my mother and father got divorced when I was 8, and then he died when I was 11. And so she got on welfare. You know, she wanted to work, but she couldn't work because she was always sick and she had 3 kids. So we got on welfare. And she took care of, I don't know. Listen, I don't know how she did it. We never went without a meal. We never went without clothing. Although I did tell a story on our sister station, 101.7 The Truth, the other day, which is this program is rebroadcast live. I'm live. Rebroadcast, recorded on Monday nights from 6 to 8. So if you miss it, you can just listen to it tomorrow night. But it was just, you know, one of those things where you went to go, you know, you had to go to gym. And when I went to gym, everybody else had those what kids wear today and they think they're new, Converse. Converse All-Stars. Oh, my God, this is a great shoe. No, it's really not a great shoe. As you get older, you're going to start that you have no arch support whatsoever and your foot's going to start hurting and you might get plantar fasciitis, you know, all that stuff, right? I had plastic tennis shoes because we were poor. So other people paid, oh, my God, $20 for shoes. I paid like $5. My shoes were like $4.99. I appreciate it all, right? You think everything is, you know, I can't get this and my friends have that. And rah, 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 rah. And my mother kept me centered and grounded and said, you're not other people. And she told me the same nonsense that everybody else's mother told them. And she said, man, I'm going to jump off the lake. You're going to jump off? You're going to jump off a cliff too? If they jump in a lake, you're going to jump in a lake too? Like, And the bad part, you find yourself telling your children stuff your mother told you. And that's when you realize all the stuff that they planted in you, all the things they put in you that you thought were dumb, were actually some of the smartest wisdom you could ever get. And so she did something incredible. We went to high school and she went to work. And she worked through high school. She worked through college. She worked after college. She worked through my first jobs in, you know, radio and TV. And she finally, because her business said, you're getting older. It's time to retire. And I don't know. I got to figure out what age. So I don't know what age she was at. But when I was 14, she went back to work. So she would have been in her 30s. And then she worked to her 50s. And she retired about 3 or 4 years before she passed away in 1995. Actually, July 5th, 1995. How do I remember that? Because I remember because working at the Milwaukee Police Department, I had worked like so many days. And then, well, I can say this because it's public record. July 4th is a overtime day for. So I had the option. Do I go see my mother or do I get overtime? I got overtime. And then I got off at 8 o'clock the morning of July 4th. I drove to Chicago, and I sat next to my mother because by then she was home-ridden. She was on hospice at home. And I drove there. How stupid is that, right? You work plus overtime, and then you get in the car and drive an hour and a half to Chicago. Or in that case, we lived on the south side, so it was 2 hours. And I sat there. I remember the first 5 minutes, and I slept till about 4 in the afternoon. I got up. I kissed her in the forehead. I said, bye. She said, bye, and I left. And I remember because the next day, my wife was coming from Mississippi. She's from Mississippi. I don't go to Mississippi a lot. She came from Mississippi with my oldest daughter because my youngest wasn't born yet. And they went there, and my wife calls me and said she just passed away. And that was on the 5th of July. I remember because I'm a pretty pragmatic person. It's not that I'm not emotional. I don't have emotions and I don't cry. But I'm a pretty pragmatic person. So after being up all day, driving to Chicago, and then driving back home, taking a shower, going back to work, and working overtime, I got home at noon and my sister calls me at 1 o'clock. Right? Like my wife calls me at like 12:30. Then my sister calls me at 1 o'clock. Well, are you coming to Chicago? What do you think I said? So I'd just seen her. Everything was going. I knew she was sick. She was in hospice and she passed away. And then my sister, are you coming? And I'm like, well, I went to work last night, supposed to get off at 7 o'clock, got off at noon. Got home at 12:30, took a shower. My wife calls me. I go to bed at 1 o'clock p.m., half hour later, you call me. So here's the deal. And I just thought about this. This is kind of mean, but if you want another funeral, I'll go get in my car and drive there. Because I'm pretty sure the way I feel right now, I'm not going to make it. You'll find me in a ditch somewhere. And I went to sleep, and I woke up, and I drove there at about, I don't know, 7, 8 o'clock that night. And that was that. But it was refreshing that I got to see her, and I got to spend time with her, and just got to be there, because a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't take care of their mothers. A lot of people don't. And African-American culture is sometimes good or bad. You got the pros and the cons and everything. It comes down to how your parents treat you is how you treat them. You know, my goal of grow old enough to be a problem for your children, my mother was never a problem. I'll be a problem for my children, but my mother was never a problem. I had to drive her to and from work every day. I had to, like, all those things. And it was just a wonderful relationship. Now, when I stood next to my mother, they said I'd look like her, but then I could show you a picture of my father and we're a dead ringer. I probably shouldn't say dead ringer, should I? Anyway. So I just find it, I always find Mother's Day marvelous. And I want to wish my wife, Carla, happy Mother's Day. And my mother-in-law, Evelyn, happy Mother's Day. But I just always find Mother's Day to be a great day, because people keep saying, you know, without your mother, you wouldn't be here. Well, without dad, you wouldn't be here either. I'm just saying. And because y'all, if y'all gave Father's Day half of what y'all gave Mother's Day, dads would be happy. It would be and be working a lot more. But I just find it, you know, wonderful to have a day to celebrate people who gave you life, the woman who nurtured you, good or bad relationship, and all that. So happy Mother's Day. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. You can always subscribe to YouTube and watch us, because whenever or wherever you're listening, all you got to do is go to YouTube and go to WTMJ. Just search 620 WTMJ. Subscribe, click the notification bell, and you'll get a notification every single time your favorite person, me, is on the air live. When we come back, believe it or not, Milwaukee Police Chief, kudos.
Welcome back to The Truth Unfiltered.
Don't be what? You're listening to Truth Unfiltered 22 minutes after the hour. You say, don't do what? So here's what happened. You know, I always complain I have ADHD, right? And so if I don't do something in the moment, it won't get done. Like when you say, hey, you need to call so-and-so and pick up so-and-so, I'll be like, boop, I need to stop and do it. If I don't, or if I don't write it down, 2 weeks later, hey, did you ever call so-and-so or do so-and-so? And I'll be like, no. You're like, well, why didn't you? Because I forgot. Well, why did you forget? Because I always forget if I don't write it down or if I don't. And so growing up, I used to always write stuff down, and I used to think, boy, I'm so smart. I remembered that. No, knucklehead, you remembered it because you wrote it down. Well, I was walking in, and I had a cup of water, and we have 4 TVs. Where's the other one? Oh, that one. 1, 2, 3, 4. And so we have 4 Apple remotes sitting here. Apple, NEC, whatever kind of remote it is. And I hit one of them. Now, earlier they were sitting here kind of jagging and one was hanging over the edge. And I thought, oh, I got to move that because I'll bump into it. What did I do? I didn't move it. And when I walked in with my water, boom, I bumped it and I heard something go, kaloogaloop. And my brain said, eh. I looked over and there were 3 remotes. And I went, eh, I'll get it later. You know, when Vince Vitrano walks in the morning with Eric Bilstadt, they'll go, hey, where's the other remote? Meanwhile, overnight, somebody will come in and go, ah, here's the garbage, and take the garbage and throw it away, and the remote's in the garbage. So I stopped, and I heard the music come on. Because when I was inside the studio talking to Evan, he said, 15 seconds. And I go, okay. And I kind of rushed in, hit it, fell in the garbage. And my brain made like 677 decisions before I went, let me pick this up. And I set it up. And what did Evan do? He hollered at me. Thank God it's Mother's Day and not Father's Day. He hollered at me. Are you breaking stuff? I was like, it's not broken, I don't think. But I won't be here if it doesn't work either. So I probably shouldn't have said that because now it's on Spotify and Google Play and Apple Play and all over the place and forever. Yeah. Anyway. So I was looking at this story and I got to say kudos to Chief Norman. He rejected a pursuit policy on reckless driving. Are we able to play the audio on that? If we get a chance. It's a story from WISN, James Stratton, on their digital WISN.com. And I find it interesting. They wanted to change it. And the story can tell you exactly what Chief Norman said.
Tonight, Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman rejects the proposed changes to limit police chases for reckless driving.
His position solidifies a stalemate and sets up a potential fight with the Fire and Police Commission and the Common Council. Investigative reporter James Stratton shows us tonight the move comes after a deadly 2025 where chases killed 9 people.
Tonight, a policy back and forth over police chases in Milwaukee. Police Chief Jeffrey Norman denying to implement changes restricting reckless driving chases. Milwaukee's Fire and Police Commission sent this letter to Norman last month recommending the restrictions to prohibit department members from engaging in vehicle pursuits for reckless driving that is observed after an attempted traffic stop, and to end a pursuit for reckless driving if continuing it increases the danger to the public.
And the chair votes aye. Motion carries.
The commission passed the recommendations back on April 16th.
No pursuit doesn't mean no accountability, and that vehicle pursuits are not the only way or even the best way to address reckless driving, which is obviously a serious issue in Milwaukee.
Sending this letter April 27th. And tonight, the rebuttal from the chief himself, saying while MPD appreciates the FPC's thorough analysis and recommendations, it is not inclined to revise SOP 660 at this time, saying when they make changes, they consider public comment, best practices, other like-sized jurisdictions, common council feedback, and internal reviews. The fight comes after 9 people died from Milwaukee chases in 2025. FPC says 4 of those people were killed in chases for reckless driving after a traffic stop, which their proposed changes would restrict. The department averages around 970 chases each year since adding reckless driving to chases in late 2017.
I also feel a sense of urgency of what we can do right now to reduce the number of vehicle pursuits, and this is one thing we can do right now.
Chief Norman already changed policy this year, not allowing police to chase for only speeding. Now that Police Chief Jeffrey Norman declined to implement those changes, the Common Council could vote to put them in themselves. Downtown, I'm James Stratton, WISN 12.
I don't think it's a good idea to limit the police. We have gotten to the point where we are limiting the police and doing their job to make other people safe. Is it tragic that 9 people lost their life? Yes. But they made a decision to flee from the police, and they didn't have to. Had that person fled and killed somebody, had that person already killed somebody and was a homicide suspect, had that person had a child in their car, had that person had a child they abducted in their car, you would have then come back and blamed the police for not doing their job, calling them cowards, calling them misconduct, telling them that they have misconduct in public office, all those things. Because you always use the police as your whipping boy. That's got to stop. Kudos to Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman for telling them, you have limited us with this idiotic decree, these lawsuits by the ACLU, and it's time to stop. If you want crime to go down, you have to let the police do their job. The problem is social media and media today allows you to see how the police do their job and you don't like it. But that is how it's done. If you don't like it, you do it. You step up and do the job. I doubt seriously if any of you have the temerity or have the gall to put a badge and a gun and go through 20 some odd weeks, 8, 10, you know, 6, 7 months of training and then field training to do the job of police. Why? Because you're all cowards. And I know people on the Fire and Police Commission. And if you pass this, you're cowards. You always use saving lives. What about the 600, 500,000 people in Milwaukee that need the police to save their lives? And yes, I'm taking calls. Citing Unlimited, WTMJ talking text line is 855-616-1620. What are your thoughts? Is the police chief right? Or should the police chief follow what the Fire Police Commission or and if the Common Council passes it, I'm going after them too. That would be idiotic to do so. And I'm going to tell my alderman, if you do that, I'm coming after you. On social media, radio, TV, everywhere I can get. It doesn't make any sense. At some point, we have to stop the violence. Now, there's got to be a reason a person drives away. It can't be fear. You know what? Let me retract that. I don't know what it is. But for whatever reason, once you're pulled over by the police, you're in custody. So then if you speed away, you're escaping. It doesn't make any sense. It is unfortunate that 9 people died. God rest their souls. I'm sorry for their families. But had they not left the police, had they not made the decision to leave a traffic stop, it would be on them. And for you to say a person who's a homicide suspect or shot at somebody or shot somebody should not be pursued, you're telling the police, hey, there's some crimes that we don't really care about. There are some people in Milwaukee you don't really care about. Just let them go. Let them go. But we're going to talk to the fire police, to the city conference, to the city. We're going to tell them, no, absolutely not. Common Council is going to go after them. No, they shouldn't. They shouldn't. If it were 90, I could see that. If it were 19, I could see that. But the problem is they left. 9 people were killed in chases. Fire and Police Commission records show 4 were killed in chases for reckless driving after a traffic stop, which the recommendation would restrict. So then what? 70%. 70% of chases in 2025 were for what? Reckless driving. So what do you do? Stop right. Well, we can find other ways to do it. Your other ways are not working. Driving to the station today, I saw 2 people blow a red light. Pulls up, stops, looks both ways, sees traffic isn't coming in the right lane and makes a left turn. The other person sitting in the middle lane, not the turn lane, makes a left turn, goes through the light. I was in Mequon Road, Port Washington Road. I'm southbound. Young lady pulls up, looks both ways, blows through the light. We're talking 6 lanes here and a median. Right through it, no big deal. What do we do? Just let them go. What if they're intoxicated? You'll come after the police. Oh, it's the police fault. Should have done your job. Those days are over. They're over. Those days are over. What can we do? 855-616-1620 if you have any comments on that one. Speaking of brutal things happening in Milwaukee, when we come back, the city is now mourning the death of a county employee.
You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered.
You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. Dr. Ken Harris, Denise Thomas is taking a day off for Mother's Day. Before, we were talking about Chief Norman and me giving kudos to him for rejecting the suggestion by the Fire and Police Commission's recommendation to change their SLP. I don't blame him. I don't blame him one bit. Speaking of Milwaukee Police Department, so there's a story about a Dennis Johnson, 56, who was fatally shot in his car on Friday night, worked as a public safety officer inside the Milwaukee County Courthouse for 10 years and provided security for Columbia St. Mary's 20 years before that. Johnson's death was one of three homicides that occurred within 3 hours on Monday night. Well, an arrest has been made in the Friday shooting. Milwaukee County Sheriff Danita Ball tells WISN 12 News reporter TJ Dysart that she was aware of an arrest in the case during an interview on Sunday. Ball didn't give specifics, of course, on when and where the arrest happened, nor did she provide any details about the person arrested, because I'm 99% sure the arrest was made by Milwaukee police. So, but that's a good thing to hear. Arrest was made so fast. My question about it is first of all, this is one of the most, you know, horrific things that can happen to a family, that can happen to a person, to be killed. And from the looks of it, he was a hard worker and was loved by many. A lot of family members came out. I like the work the Milwaukee Police Department does. I am biased. I'm a retired police lieutenant. I am biased. I admit that perfectly. People are talking about, you're so biased or you're pro-police. You're pro whatever your job is. Pro-nursing, pro-medical doctor, pro-lawyer, pro-electrician, pro-plumber. I mean, sure. And sometimes some of those folks do stuff wrong. But then you call them out on it. Well, some of y'all call them out on it. But I digress. I wish we could get victims justice when they don't work for the county and when they don't work for the police department and they don't have a title that makes their death newsworthy in a broader way than the citizen in Milwaukee who may not be as well known or have a job that brings them in contact or in public service, right? And so if we could do that and have that flurry of activity, and thank God they did for Dennis Johnson, if we could have that for everybody, I think that would be great. Your thoughts? 855-616-1620. I'm the Citing Unlimited WTMJ talking text line. I'm bothered by the amount of energy we give to people's lives. And make no mistake, not only is it tragic, but I'm glad the person is in custody. That was a terrible thing. Terrible thing. 262-902 say, bless you for supporting our men and women at MPD. 815-262 said, agree with you 100%. And 262-210 said, needs to be much stiffer penalty for running from the police, resisting police, because nobody cooperates with police anymore. And then complain with mistreatment by the police. Well, if the police mistreat them, that's wrong. However, and I say this with much due respect, the problem is not going to change with stiffer penalties. Clearly, the penalties they have are not a deterrent. The penalties for fleeing from police, it's a felony. I think. I'll have to go check. Right? You can get charged with a felony. Hitting somebody, crashing, felonies. Killing somebody, felonies. I think the issue we have is the prosecution who doesn't prosecute these people. Well, we look at their background and we look at their this, and this is their first offense. And there are some things that are egregious. And speeding away from a traffic stop, unless you're pregnant, getting to the hospital, is not, or somebody's dying in the car and you got to get them to the hospital. I'm not seeing a lot of reasons for people doing that. I'm just saying. I don't understand why people do what they do. They decide to speed from the police. And there's this thing in people's brain that the black community doesn't support the police, and it's just not true. Don't let the groups of people that you hear and that the news reports on reflect an entire group any more so than some racist Nazi anti-something is screaming and hollering and somebody says that's all white people. It's just not true. It's just not true. Or all people of Latino and Latina descent are they're illegal. It's just not true. And until we can overcome that, you need to use that same thing with the police. You got bad people everywhere. We would just expect the police to commit crime at a lesser pace and at a lesser percentage than the average public. And they do. I gotta think off the top of my head, it's gotta be less than 3% of cops that do bad things are reported, convicted, and go to prison. I got to think that. I got to hope that. But, you know, hope springs eternal. At some point, we have to remember that unless you are a law enforcement officer right now, nobody I know of will raise their right hand, take an oath, and swear to uphold the ordinances of the city of Milwaukee, the ordinances of the county of Milwaukee, state of Wisconsin, and the Constitution of the United States, and to die doing it. I have yet to hear of anybody, I'll do it, who doesn't do it now, but then complains about the police. If you think the police are so bad, I would urge you at any age to apply, take the test, pass it, graduate from the academy, get through field training, and be a law enforcement officer. Otherwise, hush. And I say that because I know you got a right to, you know, freedom of speech and all that. I get it. But at some point, because a lot of people are not going into law enforcement, a lot of people are not going in because their family, oh my God, it's too dangerous. It's too, it, yeah, everything is. Clearly, reckless driving is dangerous. Driving down the street is dangerous. Walking, taking the bus, going to work. All those things are dangerous. Living in your house. But you can do things to mitigate it. One of the reasons why you're safe is because the police mitigate that. But if prosecutors let people back out on the street, there's nothing we can do. Before we go to break, when we come back, I want to talk about, has anybody seen the new movie, Michael? Anybody? Has anybody seen it? Because because I saw it last night. I watched it. I watched the movie Michael last night. If you have any comments or questions or anything of that nature, I'm going to give a review of the movie Michael when we come back. You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris.
Welcome back to the Truth Unfiltered.
You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Remember, you can see us on YouTube. Just search 620 WTMJ on YouTube and subscribe. Today, just click notification bell. Every time we live, boom, we pop up. So I was looking at Truth Nation, and I saw the movie last night. I watched the entire 2 hour and some odd 17-minute movie of Michael. There was a review written, and I saw it. There's a lot of stuff missing from this movie. First of all, I thought it was well done. Antoine Fuqua, who's a great, great director, and I think he's done some writing as well, has done great. Aviator, Hugo, Gladiator. Has been nominated 3 times for Oscars. You know, all sorts of things he's done. Here's my issue with it. My issue, and if you don't want to hear about it and you haven't seen Michael, I'll wait 10 seconds. 1, 2, 3. You can turn the radio. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10. Okay, here's the deal. They tried to squeeze so much stuff into this movie, and I didn't care about his whole life. I think out of all the things that I saw, what I would have wanted to know about, this is me, I'm only speaking for me, and if you have any comments and you saw it, 855-616-1620, Sighting Unlimited, WTMJ, Talking Text Line. So, the thing that disturbed me about it is I wish to have seen the lawyer that he hired that fired his father and then helped him become bigger than the Beach Boys. Right? Helped him become who he was, even when he died. And then go through that point. Janet Jackson was completely missing from the movie. It was like Janet wasn't alive. You saw LaToya. That was it. And so, I'll be honest with you. People are saying, oh, it's a great movie. No. There's a lot of holes. From his abusive father to his breakout. I get it. It was good. It was good. Whenever you see biopics, right, he even talks about it, whoever wrote this talks about it. Whitney Houston, James Brown, Freddie Mercury, Charlie Parker, Bob Dylan, Elvis, Johnny Cash, you name it. Major shortcomings. Major shortcomings. The ex-cop security guard, Bill Bray, his confidant, was the only steady thing in there other than Michael. Because Michael changed as he went, but Bill Bray kind of stayed there. I found Jafar Jackson phenomenal. Phenomenal. I think he's his nephew. He was phenomenal. He should probably pick up where Michael left off. I think he could do it. But in no uncertain terms, this movie, for me, was a disappointment. I was very, very, very disappointed. Nia Long, one of my favorite actresses, was just kind of there. Never really said anything, never really did anything. You know, stood up to dad, played games with Michael. But she was a bit of a tyrant herself, from what I understand. But aren't all mothers? It's Mother's Day. What can I say? Berry Gordy didn't really see the genius in him. Really didn't see how he guided Michael's career until he changed labels. It's like they added so much stuff. Yeah, let's tell this, then let's tell that. You could tell the family had their thumb on this movie. It wasn't, how can I say it? The juice wasn't worth the squeeze. You can tell it's the end of the day, right? I'm getting tired. The juice was not worth the squeeze. The time that I spent watching that movie, I could have been clipping my toenails. I could have been watching paint dry. Was it bad? No. Was it, now watch this, the music was phenomenal. The music was great. But other than that, I would have wanted to know how he built himself from leaving his father and wanting to be the greatest musician of all times forever. That would have shown his drive, his tenacity, his failures, his overcoming, all those things that people want to see. The work ethic that he had was masterful. It was nobody could keep up. But we didn't see that. We didn't see it at all. And it was kind of. And so on Movie Nation, Roger's MovieNation.com from the late Roger Ebert, great critic of film, gave it 1.5 stars. We're talking about a movie directed by Antoine Fuqua, scripted by John Logan, great writer, Jafar Jackson, Nia Long, Miles Teller, Lorenz Tate, who played Berry Gordy, Giuliano Valdi, who played a young Michael Jackson, Kylan Durrell Jones, Coleman Domingo, and Mike Myers, who played the lawyer. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. The chemistry between Jafar and Mike Myers was worth the movie. We should have seen that. The work he did, firing his father by fax, all those things we should have seen. And if you could have just taken that and put it in 2 hours, oh, it would have been phenomenal. Phenomenal movie. But instead, we got a family-controlled. It wasn't trash because the music was just awesome. But it was like the power that Michael Jackson has today after death. I don't even know how long he's been dead. The power Michael Jackson has now was priceless. He had a phenomenal story. He had a phenomenal statement in the movie. Died in 2009, so it's coming up on, okay, like 7 years. He had some phenomenal lines, and from the sound of it, it kind of sounded like he would say that. That he would be friends with that person because he and this other person, and I believe Michael Jackson's family, they were Jehovah's Witnesses. And so this other person he mentioned was a Jehovah's Witness. There were so many things they could have tied on to it, and they didn't. And it was just, I was disappointed. From, bless you, Evan, I think I need a scale for my movies now, from disappointed to Dynamite? Nah, too cliched. I need another D word that I can use for that. But it was just sad. It was sad. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line. You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. And when we come back to Mother's Day, we're going to talk about some more Mother's Day. And I got a question for you when we come back. All right? You got to be there. We've got news at the top of the hour and more.